The madness is here. Have you filled out your bracket yet? We're going to talk college basketball and Gopher sports. Of course, it's a Mike Grimm Monday, voice of the Gophers, sports director, Minnesota News Network. And Mike, a good Monday afternoon. And are you ready for the madness?
Yeah, we're. I wish we were all part of it. I'd love to be on a plane today, someplace, even if it had to be Dayton to get in to do some Gopher games. But unfortunately, I was sweating it out yesterday, hoping to see them called, and it turned out that they did not. So, it is. It's always a favorite time of year for whatever reason. For me, it kind of takes me back to why I first really honestly got interested in sports was March Madness. As you guys, and as Aaron, as you know, I mentioned it a few times, I grew up in Iowa. When I was 9 years old, the Iowa football team, and I followed Iowa, of course, living there, the Iowa football team went to the Rose Bowl. Well, actually, let me take that back. When I was 9 years old, the Iowa men's basketball team went to the Final Four in the spring of 1980. And that got me hooked right there. That's what I'm like, this is awesome. So that's why I love college sports. And then it was a year later, 1981, Iowa went to the Rose Bowl for the first time since the late 1950s. And so you're a 9 and a 10-year-old kid. And so March Madness it really brings me back to the very start of my fandom and ultimately really why I ended up getting into the profession, to be quite honest with you. So, yeah, I love March Madness. I wish the Gophers were involved. They're not, so we'll have to, root for some Big Ten teams and hope they show well and go from there. But to answer the question, as I usually do in a long way, yes, I'm ready for March Madness.
Now, Mike, with an unbiased answer, there's 8 teams in the Big Ten tournament. How much trust should we have in the Big Ten teams? Now, granted, a lot of them didn't get great seeds. Purdue got a number 1, but a lot of them are lower seeds. For those that are still picking their bracket on this Monday afternoon, how much faith should we have in our conference?
Yeah, not much. I agree with you 100%. The Big Ten really, at the Big Ten tournament, shot itself in the foot, I thought. The only team that helped itself was Penn State. And they helped themselves and ultimately knocked, I think, a few teams down some pegs in doing so. So Michigan State had a chance to improve a seed. Iowa had a chance to improve a seed. Illinois had a chance. Indiana had a chance. And there's others I'm probably forgetting in there. Certainly Rutgers didn't even make the tournament, which I'm not mad about. I mean, I don't care either way, but I really thought with the quality of wins they had, including a win over a number 1 seed Purdue, compared to the rest of the bubble, I really thought they should have gotten in. But it's fine. Don't lose to Minnesota and don't lose to, whatever it was, 5 of their last 7. Otherwise they should have been in. I don't have a lot of faith based on seeding. We had talked on the air, Spencer Tollickson and I, that I thought the Big Ten was getting overlooked a little bit because I thought there were some teams. I think Purdue, maybe Indiana might be the only teams that can make a serious run where I'm talking Elite Eight, Final Four kind of a run. But I thought, and I still think, there are several teams that if they made the Sweet 16, got into the second weekend, I wouldn't be surprised. That said, after they all stubbed their toe in the Big Ten tournament last week and, most of them are sitting with a 7, 8, or 9 seed, and that's just hard to make a living. If you're an 8 or 9 seed, you got to beat a 1 seed to get to the Sweet 16. Iowa's in that boat. Maryland's in that boat. Maryland was another team that didn't help itself. They beat Minnesota and then lost, who'd they lose to? I forget. Indiana, I guess. I guess Indiana beating Maryland helped them a little, but they could have beaten Penn State, moved into the championship, and moved up a line or two. So I don't have a lot of faith that there's going to be. I thought before the Big Ten tournament that if it played out right and teams were in that 5 or 6 seed line, that they could make 3 or 4 teams get into the Sweet 16, because I thought 9 total make it, and now 8 total have made it, and all of them outside of Indiana and Purdue have horrible seeding. So I don't have a lot of faith. I haven't filled out the bracket yet, and honestly, I haven't studied it a lot yet, but I don't have a lot of faith in the Big Ten getting more than maybe 2 teams into the Sweet 16, which, that's still, 25% of the, 12% of the field. But I thought if they had done better last week in the Big Ten tournament and got some better seeding. Look, Northwestern's a team that plays defense in a manner that you could see them bounce to the second weekend. Maryland plays defense in a manner that, because that's kind of a way that you always, you know, you're going to see a team you haven't seen before. And, you know, eventually in the Big Ten, teams kind of caught on to some of what Northwestern is doing. But I'm telling you, if you haven't seen it, you're going to be shocked for a bit. And in the NCAA tournament, that can be a factor. But because of where they're seated, it's going to be hard for them to advance into weekend number two. But you never know. We shall see.
Mike Grimm Monday here on Kate Radio. And, Mike, you know I like talking about other broadcasters. And I'm bringing this up because I think it was late Saturday night was the first time, because I'm usually not up that late, and I don't watch a lot of Pac-12 basketball. I don't know about you, but I got a chance to, what's the word I'm looking for, witness or experience Bill Walton as a color commentator on the Pac-12 championship. And Bill Walton is a guy that I'm looking for the right wordage, that I looked up his name immediately on Twitter to see responses from people about the broadcast, and a lot of people disliked him. He was ruining the broadcast. Other people liked him because he's very entertaining. He's one of those guys, one of the reasons I stayed up late, and I'm not sure if I like him as a commentator, but I felt like I was listening to Howard Stern. And I say Howard Stern because sometimes you listen to an announcer like that, not because you like them or not because you dislike them, you want to hear what they're going to say next. And that's the reason I kept listening to Bill Walton. Have you had the experience with Bill before, listening to him, and what were your thoughts?
Yeah, the Bill Walton experience, let's call it that, no doubt. I have, I like him. I will listen, and I watched a couple of different games that he did this weekend late at night. And he's just a streaming, he just basically is a streaming amount of consciousness. He just talks and talks and talks, and the game is going on at the same time. God bless Dave Pasch, who has been partnered with him now for many years on those West Coast games, and he plays off him pretty well as kind of just a straight man, and gives him some grief over the time, fights with him in a joking manner, but if you didn't know it, I think you might be uncomfortable at times with how they get into it. Because
I know
the background of their relationship. They're very tight. Dave Pasch is also the radio voice of the Arizona Cardinal NFL team. And then Jason Benetti was an ESPN guy for a long time. He now works for Fox. He's your guy. He's a White Sox TV guy. I think he's ultimate talent, just a great talented kid. I say kid because he's younger than me. I met him when the Gophers played High Point way back, and he was the voice of High Point, Jason Benetti. But anyway, Benetti also got a lot of games with Walton over the years at his time at ESPN, and I've talked to Jason a few times just in crossing, and they've gotten to be really close friends. In fact, to the point where Bill Walton joined Benetti on a couple of White Sox broadcasts, I want to say last summer or the summer before, just went to Chicago to hang out, you know, because that's what Bill Walton does. He just hangs out. So I like him. I know there's a lot of people that say, you know, but I am at a point in life where I don't take sports all that seriously anyway,
yes,
even though I'm a, you know, in the business of sports. Like I'm not going to get worked up if Bill Walton is talking, and I giggle about it. I'm more entertained by it than put off by it. And I understand if others aren't. I understand if he's announcing a game that your team is in, how it could get a little annoying because they don't talk much about the game. But look, I don't think there's any doubt that he's one of the few national broadcasters now that will bring an audience. In other words, people will stay to listen, just like you did, you know, where and some people might even seek it out, like, oh man, Bill's doing a game tonight, we're going to go watch that, you know. So I'm entertained by him. I like
one of the comments, and he makes many, and if you're curious about Bill Walton, just do a search on your computer. I'm sure there's many YouTube videos. But the tournament was in Las Vegas, and he said the Las Vegas Strip, the only place that you can see on the only place you could see on Earth from outer space. And the other guy said, well, you would know.
Yeah, I mean, great line. That's what I'm saying. They have a great play, and Pasch is kind of a straight man, but he gets kind of these one line jabs in and they play off each other, and it is. I mean, I like it, and it's probably because I'm not a big Pac-12 fan, so I really don't have a rooting interest in either team. So I'm just there for the entertainment. Where, like I said, if I'm a UCLA or Arizona fan or Arizona State or whoever were in those games, I could see why you'd be annoyed a little bit. And he's such a an open homer for the Pac-12. It's so funny, you know. Obviously, he went to UCLA. His son played at Arizona. And so he obviously has, you know, some homerism for that. And he just openly talks about the Conference of Champions, you know.
Yes.
And I get a kick out of the whole thing. I really do.
Voice of Golden Gopher Athletics, Sports Director, Minnesota News Network, Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday. And let's turn our attention to hockey. Let's talk about Gopher hockey. I saw the stories this morning. What's the latest in the world of hockey?
Good news for the Gophers, both the men and the women. So the women played Saturday in the NCAA tournament. They hosted, they got home ice edge, and they hosted Minnesota Duluth for the right to go to the Frozen Four, which this year is in Duluth. So Duluth really wanted to make it because they could play on its home ice. Minnesota wanted to make it because they haven't been there since 2019. And the Gophers, I went to the game, I rubed out. I put on the Gopher hoodie and went with three buddies, and we had a great time. Sat in the stands and cheered and clapped along to the Rouser and all that good stuff. And the Gophers won it 3-0, pretty well controlled the game. The game was played on their end of the rink most of the afternoon. So they earn a trip to the Frozen Four, and, of course, the hope is that they can then win it all. They play Wisconsin on Friday late afternoon, 6 o'clock in Duluth in one of the semis. Ohio State and Northeastern play in the other semi, and those Friday winners will then play Sunday for the national championship. So the Gophers are basically two wins away from winning a national championship, which would be current head coach Brad Frost's fifth national title. He hasn't won one though since 2016, so I think I know he and the group would love to get one. And then the men played a Big Ten semifinal game against Michigan State. That was Saturday night. My three buddies and I also went to that, so we basically took in a full day of hockey. We had a good time, and Minnesota had its way with Michigan State 5-1. So they will host the Gophers will host Michigan this Saturday night at 7 for the Big Ten Championship Tournament Trophy. And then on Sunday, the NCAA bracket will be announced. The Gophers will have the top seed, whether they win or lose Saturday against Michigan. That's just how good they've been. They will be the number one overall seed in the 16-team tournament. And it's most likely they will get a first-round game in Fargo. And the hope is a bunch of Gopher fans will make the trek up 94 and Phil Shields Sports Arena or whatever it's called up there, and the Gophers can advance to a Frozen Four, in a couple of weeks. That would be great. The Frozen Four this year is in Tampa, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of Minnesotans more than willing to head to Tampa in the middle of early April for that.
Another topic I want to throw at you, and I'm assuming you probably have watched some of this, if not a lot of it, because we're both baseball fans. World Baseball Classic going on. I am absolutely, positively loving the World Baseball Classic. I like these games that, and maybe it was a game in Japan or in China, just to see how the fans react differently than maybe we do when we're watching Major League Baseball games. The chants, the cheering. There was one game where there was cheerleaders on the dugout during the game. And I have absolutely thought this is so cool. It's been a while. It's been 6 years since the World Baseball Classic. Of course, COVID had reasons why it's been so long. Have you had a chance to watch it, and are you loving it as much as I am?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have not seen one pitch of it. Now, I've seen the highlights, on MLB and just thumbing through, the social media channels and such, but I have not. I agree with you. I like the emotion of it. I always think whenever you're playing for your country, that nationalism that's involved, whether it's the Olympics or the Ryder Cup or, World Baseball Classic. And particularly, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, particularly the Latino countries, Mexico. Yep. And And then you got Panama and Venezuela and all those countries that, you know, Puerto Rico, where Yadier Molina, I think, is the manager of that team. And they obviously love baseball in those countries, and they love their national pride, and they love to beat the big boys. And Mexico knocked off, I saw the USA last night, in a pretty convincing win. So I like that part of it. Unfortunately, my schedule and different things, I've just not been able to watch. I watched golf yesterday. I watched the Big Ten championship game yesterday. I was able to relax for the first time in a minute and just sit on the couch and then watch Selection Sunday and all those things. So did not get a chance to watch, but I agree with you. I like the emotion of it. I like the, you know, anytime you can watch baseball, it's great. But when you get bat flips and everything else and guys playing for their country, that's pretty cool.
Bud Grant, passing away at the age of 95. A guy that obviously, when you think of Bud, you think of Minnesota, you think of Vikings football, just a legend. Now, when it comes to Bud Grant, when he was coaching the Vikings, that was even before I was born, maybe a couple of Super Bowls when I was just a little kid that didn't know anything about football at that time. But talk about what, in your perspective, what Bud meant, or still means, I should say, to the state of Minnesota. Again, he lived a good life, 95 years old. Still sad to hear that a guy that symbolizes Minnesota Vikings football passed away.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, a staple in setting the tone, I think, for the state sports fans, in the sense that they are very stoic. You know, they don't, they, you know, and that's what he was. He kind of had that stare, and he was stoic, and cold weather didn't matter, and all that stuff. You're right in terms of what you mentioned, you know, his legacy. I mean, you forget, was it 87? He retired from coaching, or 80. I mean, I know he retired in 85, and then Les Stuckel came for a year, then he came back for one, and then Burns, he got it after that. But, when I was growing up, it was basically like this, basically three legends that were Bud Grant, four really, Bud Grant, Tom Landry from the Cowboys, Chuck Knoll from the Steelers, and Don Shula from the Dolphins. Those four, and there were others, but those four really stood out. I mean, I remember going to my elementary school library, and I'd always go right to the sports section. You know, the sports section had books, and there were always three or four new books every year about one or more of those coaches. And I would check those books out and read them cover to cover. And and it was just so, even, yeah, that goes back to my childhood as well. You know, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, watching that and reading that, and in Iowa, the Vikings games were always on, so you'd see them. The Vikings always wore those black shoes, even when they got into the Metrodome with Bud Grant. And then the thing we often forget about Bud is that he was a great athlete himself. I mean, he played on a world championship team of the Minneapolis Lakers. He was a basketball player on a world championship team of the Minneapolis Lakers. Before he got into football coaching, he was a three-sport athlete at the University of Minnesota. He played football, baseball, and basketball, and you know, was an All-American in football, and then ended up playing some pro football, some pro basketball, and then ultimately, became a legend. He coached in the CFL before he got the Vikings job, and was great there as well, and just set the tone for Minnesota sports. Probably what you would, I guess what you call, he was the first legend of Minnesota sports. I know the Twins got here the year before the Vikings, but I think, and there are certainly Twins legends like Carew and Killebrew and that, but I honestly think that Bud Grant was, the guy that set the tone for Minnesota sports.
Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday, voice of Golden Gopher Sports, and of course, a sports director, Minnesota News Network. And to cap off our conversation, I want to finish going back to the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And, Mike, I know you said you haven't studied, you haven't filled out a bracket, but it's the only time we have you on the air before people are filling out their brackets. What is Mike Grimm's favorite and maybe a sleeper team? I know you haven't done the studying, But off the top of your head, if you had to pick a favorite or a sleeper team, or let's say both, pick both, so our listeners know who to pick.
Yeah, it's going to depend on how you define a sleeper team, because I don't think Purdue is up in the range of, oh man, this is a this is going to be a team that is a sure shot Final Four pick. But they're a one seed, so it's hard to pick them as a sleeper team. So I'll be a homer. I'll pick Purdue to be the team to make the run. And then my sleeper team, I'm going to go out of the box, and I'm going to go Arkansas to pull off an upset. They'll beat Illinois, and then I forget which one seed they have. But I'll say Arkansas because they've been a really good tournament team under Eric Musselman. And Musselman's been a good tournament coach for whatever reason, and I do think some of that stuff matters. So I'll pick Arkansas to be one of the weird teams to knock off a one seed. The other weird one I'll say, and I don't know what the committee was thinking in allowing this to happen, but they gave Auburn. Auburn was a 9 seed, and they allowed the 9 seed to play in Birmingham, which is like 100 miles from their campus. I can't believe they did that. Houston is the 1 seed opposite them. Iowa, the 8 seed, could have gotten put in Des Moines, but nobody's going to put an 8 or a 9 seed 100 miles from campus, but they did it. And not only did they do it, they screwed over the 1 seed and the 8 seed by rewarding the 9 seed. And Auburn, I'm going to just make my editorial comment, Auburn has never been real favorites of the NCAA, right? I mean, they've cheated more than anybody or as much as anybody. And the NCAA throws in this bone. They put Alabama, which is right. Yes, Alabama, the 1 seed in the whole tournament, should get to go to Birmingham. But how they put Auburn as the 9 seed and gave them home games against an 8 seed and a 1 seed. Iowa and Houston have to be beside themselves, particularly if Auburn wins. You're Houston. You've earned a 1 seed. You're going to play basically a road game against Auburn to get to the Sweet 16. I don't know what the committee was thinking. It's bizarre to me. I think you just get a bunch of these dudes that are ADs from around the country, and they talk about how much studying and work they put into it, and then they throw that bracket out there. Like what are you thinking about? That just can't happen. It just can't. Hopefully it doesn't cost either of those teams. I'd love to see Iowa from the Big Ten win that game just to stop it, stop the nonsense of the idea of that. But anyway, you got me on, you always do that. You get me on a little soapbox, and I had to make that comment. But I'll do Purdue, and I'll do Arkansas, and we'll see next week if either are still alive.
There you go. Help from Mike Grimm. Now, you know how you fill out the rest of your bracket. You go by mascots, your favorite team colors, and you throw darts at a board and, put some team names up there. That's the best way to pick your bracket. So you have some expert advice, and then go back to methods that, again, what's great about Madness is if you have an office pool going on right now, there's a good chance the person in your office that knows the least about basketball is the person that'll win the office pool. It happens year after year after year. Mike Grimm,
no question.
Voice
no
of Gopher Sports, sports director of the Minnesota News Network, joins us each Monday. Mike, like always, thank you so much for the time. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Look forward to it, Aaron. Always enjoy it. Thank you.